Blog Talk Radio.
Sergeant Robert Smith of the Philadelphia Police Department.
He was killed a year ago today, fishing up the shift, walked into a hobby shop to pick up a birthday present for his youngest son. And he walked into a robbery. The guy saw him turn around, just drew at him, and shot him there. So, Lisa, our thoughts are with you and the kids, and with the other guys, other brothers and sisters of the Philadelphia Police Department. Well, hey, John, did you happen to see the Wilder fight last week?
I did.
What was your thoughts?
Well, I thought that the young man came out and put on quite a display for the first few rounds. Obviously, Wilder's power ended the fight. But, you know, fans that were looking for Wilder, especially being from the U.S., looking to do a little more and have the anticipation of fighting the winner of Klitschko or Joshua, probably didn't expect to see him look that off. So, you know, it's kind of been something throughout Wilder's career that he's had to face. And you expect so much of the guy. And, yes, he won the fight, but the first few rounds were very disturbing.
Yeah. It was, it's just like he didn't even start until the third round. I had it 2-0 going into the third round.
Yep, absolutely.
And even I wasn't really impressed with his ability in the ring to control even his own punches. I mean, he was just swinging wild. He got very lucky with his shot on Wilson, and he took him down. But I mean, it was a wild swat as like he was swatting at a fly.
Well, and you can only do it probably against that opponent there. You know,
sure.
You go into a fight against someone with some stature, obviously like we're talking Klitschko or Joshua, and it's not going to end well for Wilder at all. So,
no.
Not what we wanted to see as fans of Wilder, and hopefully he can get back to some boxing and be patient, pick and choose his slots, and use the power that he has. I mean, he has great talent, but it's not what I wanted to see last Saturday.
Yeah, and the fight before that, Brazil, really didn't impress me either. I mean, he was losing that fight for the first five rounds, and again, he got lucky and just knocked his opponent out of the ring, and it was reminiscent of the fight a couple weeks ago where the same thing happened, where the guy couldn't get up and respond. But as far as his abilities, they just didn't seem to be worthy of his opponent, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Once again, you have someone that you think you're going to see some more skill from, maybe, you know, a little more boxing, but you just go in there and swinging away. It worked out for both fighters. So, you know, you can't take too much away from him. And maybe that was a game plan, that they were going to go in there and just overpower muscle and go for the knockout. But, you know, this is boxing. And everyone deserves to be in that. Everyone that's in that ring, there's a reason why they're there. And if you take that chance against quality opponents, it's most of the time it's not going to work out for you. So, Brazil, again, you know, it's a great win. I mean, obviously, a nice way to finish the fight. But, again, something that I just didn't expect to see.
Right. Hey, let me ask you a question that seems to be floating anymore. Is there a deal struck or is there not a deal struck for Pacquiao Horn?
Well, Pacquiao's promoter believes that there's a deal struck. But, you know, that's an issue. And, you know, when if your promoter and your promoter and your number one boxer, I mean, I believe Pacquiao is probably his number one boxer, but your number one boxer are not on the same page of who they're going to fight. It's quite interesting. So I'm going to go with the fighter and say, no, the deal is not struck, and that Pac-Man is not going to fight Horn, and he's going to take that fight, I believe it's in Macau, for the money.
Yeah. Originally, they were going to go to Australia on April 23rd. But I guess Macau offered $1 million for them to come there, just to sign to come there. So,
well, it's gonna be a good fight. I mean, Amir Khan and Pacquiao, I think, it is the fight that the fans want to see. Most folks didn't know who Joe Horn was. What a great opportunity for the young man to fight Manny Pacquiao. But you know, Pacquiao and Amir Khan is gonna be a great fight. They both have tremendous skill, and it's the better fight, and it's gonna be the better draw for the bigger money. I did hear it was moved from due to a holiday. It was moved from a Saturday to a Friday. So I don't know how that's going to affect the viewers, but if Macau's going to pay all that money, I don't think they really care what the viewership's going to be. That's just going to be bonus.
Sure, sure. I'm going to get our resident boxing historian online with us, Dr. Chris. Normally I would call off the line, but the other guys aren't on with me tonight, so I want to make sure we get everything done for everybody. The other one I wanted to ask you about was Brandon Cook.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Frank, I'm up feeding the cats. I'm up at Rick's. I'll be home in 5 minutes. All right? I'm up there freezing my ass off. They're up here. I'm taking care of the cats for my son, all right? I'll be home in 5 minutes. All right.
How about that, huh? How about that, folks? How about that? And that's live radio for you.
That is. One of the greatest guys that ever walked the face of the earth, one of the smartest fighters I ever had a chance to be in a corner for, and he was had a tremendous practice. His son now is the largest Invisalign dentist in the United States.
Really?
Chris has got a lot of energy, and unfortunately, sometimes it comes out.
Well, hey, nothing wrong. That's live radio for you.
That's right. Okay, let's get back to Brandon Cook and Stephen Butler at the Bell Center in Montreal.
Well, I mean, it was an upset.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in my opinion it was a huge upset. You know, to do what he did. I mean, he was obviously more powerful than Butler. And Butler had more speed, was supposed to be more technical. Everything that you asked for in this fight pretty much took place. It was a great fight. I don't think either fighters are too well known because they were both undefeated. I think they were both 17-0, or no, Butler was 18-0 and Cook was 17-0. But Butler was the favorite in this fight. And Cook came out victorious, took his record, I believe, to 18-0 now. You know, Butler had every intangible and every advantage that you want to see in a boxer. He had the speed, he had besides the power, but he had speed, the ringsmanship, he had the reach, the height. I mean, you name it, and you know, Cook went in and put on a performance.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Yeah, I mean, and you just drew the attention to exactly where it should be. It just didn't seem like it seemed like on paper, you had the perfect match, but it turned out to be a mismatch because of the way it ended up. But it would be neat to I have another question for you on a fight coming up next week. Two heavyweights, Amir Hardcore Mansour, and he's going against Kaufman, Travis My Time Kaufman. Kaufman's 31-1 with 23 knockouts, and Mansour is 22-2 with one knockout. I'm sorry, 16 knockouts. The other one on the other side of that card is Mansour is a good friend of ours, and comes on quite a bit. The other one is the undercard of that is going to be. Edner Cherry, who we had on just last week.
Yeah,
Edner is a terrific fighter, terrific man, and I think he'll be successful. But what do you think about Kaufman versus Mansour?
Well, Mansour has been out for a while, and this is gonna be a good fight. I think what you said was 31-0. They fight on the 7th. They fight at 17th. No, Mansour, I think, is 31-1. And so obviously he has a little bit of more experience. or Kaufman does. Kaufman has more experience. So this fight was originally supposed to be on the Deontay Wilder undercard and got moved. And I think this is going to be an opportunity for them to go on and get more exposure as well. The heavyweight division is craving for talent, and especially on the United States side. So, you know, you got a man from Pennsylvania, and hopefully he can do a little something. I'm going to give him the advantage over Mansoor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mansoor, I had gone to see him fight Stevie Cunningham and up at the Leocora Center at Temple University up in Philly, and he did a tremendous job. He's sort of an odd, I'm trying to think of this the proper phrasing, but anyway, his stance is not what you wouldn't think of. Of course, a lot of his early training, was in closets at a federal penitentiary.
Right. Mansoor has a good story, and I believe that fight, he lost that fight to Cunningham, if I remember
That's
correctly.
Right.
Did he lose that fight?
He lost that fight
in a decision.
Yes.
But it was
funny. Go ahead.
Go on. No, go on, Butch.
Yeah, I was going to say it was funny because, Stevie's was from Philadelphia also. And they had moved to Pittsburgh to be close to Pittsburgh Presbyterian Children's Hospital because his youngest daughter needed a heart transplant. They got word the day before the fight, when he was back in Philly, that she was going to be operated on the next morning. And Stevie went into the ring, did his job, left the Leocora Center with a police escort to the airport, got on a plane and flew to his sick daughter's bedside. And, I always have a soft spot for a guy that has something to do with children. And Stevie has been a tremendous fighter, a tremendous person. And, I gotta say that about that. But
it's a tremendous story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's now signed with Al Haymon like everybody else and is doing some of the commentating at some of the fights. In fact, he is supposed to be ringside tonight at the fight with our good friend Keith Thurman and another Philly guy, Danny Garcia. So we'll see if he gets a chance to get the mic in his hand, but that's what he's hoping anyway.
I hope so because they brought in who they bring in for the fight. They brought in Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard brought in for the commentating of what's probably going to be high anticipation of fight of the year. I know that we're leading in this a little early without Dr. Chris, but when you got someone and I hope Stevie Cunningham gets a chance to get on that mic. It'd be good to hear from another boxing extraordinaire. I know he's throughout his career and what he's done, and have him leave what he believes is some opinions to the fight. I would like to get his insight as well. And it's going to be the fight. It's going to be the fight of the year. And so I can't wait to get my eyes on it tonight. Can't wait to finally have these two step in a ring. They've had some pretty intense square offs, and the weigh-in was a great weigh-in. That was intense. I mean, they're both talkers. Danny Garcia a little louder than Thurman, but we know, as Thurman being a friend of the show and having him on along with his manager, that he's not going to shy away from nobody. And he's a confident individual. He's confident in what he can bring to the ring. And it's going to be a heck of a fight tonight.
Sure. I'm going to try and bring Chris in because we have a former heavyweight Joe Tabiri coming on at 6:20.
Okay.
Let's get Chris on here.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm ready now. I'm for it. Okay. Man, it's cold up here, Frank. It's about 30 degrees and wind's blowing about 25 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
All day long.
Well, you know
Hold
what?
It in hell.
We're on with John, Captain John, and he's down at the southernmost point of the United States. John, what's the temperature down there?
I will say we have that same wind at 30 miles an hour, but it just happens to be about 85.
That's too hot. I don't like that hot weather.
It is kind of hot, but
I'm going to go. I'm going to move up. I'm going to move where it's colder. I don't like it. Too damn hot. How you guys doing?
We're doing
good,
great. We're doing great. We're just about to get Joe Tiberi Sr. on here, so I want to get you on before we did that. But I also wanted to. John and I we just talked about Deontay Wilder and his fight last week, and Brazil and his fight last week. And I don't know whether you had a chance.
I saw them both. Yeah, I saw them both.
Okay,
I like the Brazil fight better. That little guy gave him one hell of a time, didn't
he?
He
did. Yes, he did.
He was bombing him, man. I thought he was going to knock Brazil the hell out, and then all of a sudden he got tired, and he went right. Yeah, Brazil is an awful big, heavy man. What did he come in at, 255 or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy couldn't have been any more than 2 1/4. I didn't see the weigh-in weight. But
he was 5 pounds, you're right.
Oh, yeah, he was leaning on him, dragging him around, you know, and pushing him down. And, you know, and the guy threw some beautiful right-hand, left-hook combinations. And Brazil had no answer for that right hand. He was beating him to it. Then all of a sudden, he ran out of gas, the poor guy. He got knocked out himself. But that was a hell of a fight. Deontay Wilder, what the hell can I say? The other guy, well, he was winning all the way. And then, boom, one, you know. But the Brazil fight was exciting, I thought. I liked it. But I'm waiting to see Deontay Wilder get his shin tested. I want to see him in there against a really, really good quality first-rate opponent. We'll see what he's got.
And that's what we were just talking about. And you know, we all want to see it. We believe he has a talent, but it's just, you know, I look at the way he preps for fights or that he takes on a fighter that has limited status or a name, and he knows he's going to go in and use his power, whether it happens to be down 3 or 4 rounds. You know, he's not going to be able to get down 3 or 4 rounds to where Anthony Joshua, Klitschko, or whoever else may come across the waters. But he's got to go on and have to have a little more ring presence, and I would hope a little more boxing skill. Just throw the haymakers. I know it works for him, but it's not going to work for him against quality opponents, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't get behind too often. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. You know, then he'll start pressing. He'll go out of his style. Next thing you know, he'll be on the floor. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm looking forward to Gennady, Triple G, and believe it or not, the fight with Keith. They've been running all of all the shows over again. I saw Keith fight a really good Puerto Rican fighter. And he gave him a hard time for about 7-8 rounds, and then Keith caught him with a couple of body shots. Then Danny Garcia had a couple of good fights and a couple of bad ones. But Garcia's tough, you know. He hangs in there somehow. He hangs in there. So, what do you guys think? I mean,
can we hold off on the? Yeah, I want to hold off on that one because Frankie Philippone wants to talk to us about that one too.
I'm glad to talk to Frank. Is he there?
I have your good friend on the line here, a man who we certainly hope will make the Delaware Hall of Fame this year, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to help him out. I know you've committed, and we've committed, and we'll do whatever we can. This is Mr. Joe Tiberi. Joe, how you doing tonight?
Okay. How you doing?
Good. We're doing great. Now, Joe, the man on the other end of this line here has told the world many, many stories about how you would you'd taken out some of the most formidable opponents in the United States. Can you give us a little update on that?
Well, for one thing, whoever they offered me to play, I fought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm job during the day, and that was my other job, my side job.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you don't hear a lot of guys when I do them both. And back
right.
then,
it was just
hey,
different
hey.
Time.
Hey, Joe. I remember when you fought Moon Mullins. Nobody wanted to touch him. Nobody wanted to get in the ring with him. And Carmen threw you in there, remember? Brave
who
Carmen?
That?
Moon
oh,
Mullins. That guy, nobody wanted to fight him. He was 14-0, next middleweight champ coming out of Philly. And Elvin was up there, Elvin Thompson. He told me about the whole night. And Carmen had some problems with the light heavyweight. They got into an argument with Slim Jim Robinson. He told me the whole story. But anyway, nobody wanted to touch this guy, and you knocked him out. He never thought he could be beaten. And then you went, and correct me if I'm wrong, you fought a guy from North Jersey, an up-and-coming middleweight contender. He was like 22-0, wasn't he?
Marciano Bernardi.
Yeah, and you knocked him out, right?
I fought Fernandez up in Boston Garden.
Okay, that was the middleweight champ of New England, wasn't it?
Yeah. And
yeah, that's what I thought. So you had three fights where you fought guys that were like 50-0 between them. I mean,
yeah.
And you had another good fight. I saw it on television. A big middleweight, about 165 pounder, taller than you. Nobody wanted to fight him, and Carmen threw you in there with that guy, and you fought to a draw. Do you remember that fight? I can't think of his name.
Murder.
You fought a 10-rounder in Atlantic City, I think.
He was about 170.
Yeah, he was big, 165, 168, and Carmen threw you in there with him, and you fought a draw.
Abu-Bain.
The whole night, the whole, yeah, the whole... What was his name?
Jamal Alderbaker.
Okay. I mean, you were in there with all quality opponents all your life, and I was in total shock when I found out you weren't in the Hall of Fame. And I thought the first guy I'm going to contact, and I'm looking up his number today, Mike Walsh. He did all the MC work and all. He knows everybody in the state of Delaware, the former sheriff. You remember Mike?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while.
Well, he golfs out at that course in Hokesson, and he's been bouncing around. I used to see him at breakfast, and then he used to come up here to Boothman and have breakfast with a friend of his that he went to Archmere with, and then Anthony got sick, and then they don't get together anymore. So I haven't seen him in over a year. You know, I haven't talked to him in over a year, but I thought, what a guy to start with. There's nobody in the state of Delaware that he doesn't know.
Right.
And
yeah.
and he would be the guy that would know everybody who the contacts are. So
yeah, the other one would be Johnny Carney. John's my nephew. He's the governor now up in Delaware. Johnny was he played football for me at Holy Rosary and then at St. Mark's. And then he went on to Brown, and from Brown he went to University of Pennsylvania as an assistant coach, and then he got into, he ran for Congress, and then he was, you know, he worked for Joe Biden for a number of years, and now he's the governor, so.
Governor of what? Delaware?
Delaware, mm-hmm,
yeah. He's the new governor of Delaware?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you spell his last name?
Carney. His dad, Jack,
okay,
was a referee. I used to referee with him and Chubby and Berger and what was the other guy from Hook that used to come out? I can't remember his name.
Angelo Tabersi?
There you go.
Angelo.
Yeah.
Angelo's 87 years old now.
Yeah, geez.
He's slipping a little bit. He's slipping a little bit now. He is a funny guy. Him and Chubby were funny. Jesus Christ, what a pair they were.
Yeah.
Well, I thought They used to play for they used to do all the Garner Valley games.
Right.
And they wouldn't. They never called a penalty on Garner Valley. It was a flagrant. It had to be a flagrant foul. You know. They were funny. They referee every single Garner Valley game. Chubby, Nikki Trainer. There's
right.
a name out of the pit.
Right.
Nikki.
Sure.
Nikki used to do SEC games,
mm-hmm.
and he did the Southeast Conference Championship. But they wouldn't let him do Ridley Township. Joe Nicholas wouldn't let him on the field. He
yeah.
called a penalty against Ridley Township, which cost him a game one time. He was barred
yeah.
for life after that. Oh, Christ. I kid Nicky all the time when I see him. I saw him over at the golf course. His daughter belonged to Concord. He came over to say hello to her and have lunch with her. That's the last time I saw
yeah.
him. But,
hey, Joe, can you tell us, you have I know you've trained a lot of good young boxers. Can you give us the names of some of those and anything that you can think that would our listeners would be interested in?
Mostly amateur. I didn't really want to get into the pro rank. I really just felt comfortable most with the amateurs. I had some really good. Doug Houser was one that won the Mid-Atlantic tournament twice, went to Colorado. At the finals in the Nationals. And Leroy Fountain, he was from Seaford. He used to come up every night from Seaford. And he actually had gold medalists on the deck in the finals. And it was in Philly, so it was a tough thing for us to swallow, but he had him down, he got back up, and he just charged, bull charged, and he stopped the fight. And we weren't happy about it. I'm trying to think of his name. He won the gold medal, the only guy to win it, and he was from Philly.
Hey, Joe, who was that little 118-pounder you had, a little left-handed kid? I thought he was national champion.
No, he got in the final, Benji Guerrero. He's from Texas. Originally moved down here. His dad was a welder, and he actually started with me.
Yeah, I know. And then you had Mike. The welterweight for a while before he went up to Philly. You had him for his first 8 or 10 fights, didn't you?
Yeah, we had 11. We had 11 fights. He was 11.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys that turned pro, but...
What was his name? What was his last name? Mike, what was his last name?
Stewart.
Michael Stewart. You had him for his first 8 or 10 fights, if I remember, his pro fights. Because
yeah.
we made him a mouthpiece. Way to hell back there when he first started. We made him his mouthpiece. And, that kid, he was half Italian. He spoke Italian better. I said, oh, damn it. I told him... He spoke Italian better than me. I don't know what the hell I was. He was leaving me in the dust with the Italian. And his brother was a good fighter, the big heavyweight kid, like a cruiserweight heavyweight. He was a good fighter, too. Michael Stewart's brother.
Rich. His name is Rich.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of guys over the years. You put a ton of training time in. That alone should put you in the Hall of Fame, Joe. I mean, to me, it's a disgrace. I'm really furious about it, but I told you that when I talked to you, so.
I appreciate
it. We have another friend of yours on the line here, a good friend of ours, a good boxer, a great person, and a terrific training officer in the, was it Newport Beach,
Virginia Beach.
Virginia.
Yeah.
It's Frankie Filippone.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Hey, living the dream.
That's good. So am I.
How's everyone else? Yeah.
We're doing great, Frankie.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
y'all ready for
the big
fight tonight?
That's one of the questions that we wanted to ask you. how about give us your thoughts on the fight tonight?
I can tell you this. Generally speaking, I don't get too excited about fights, but this one, I'm almost to the point where I can't even contain myself. I think this is a true. I think this will be a fight of the year. I think it will be a good candidate for fight of the year. I think both of these guys bring a lot of experience to the table and a lot of heart. They're both intelligent fighters and able to, you know, kind of change with the opponent's style. So it's a toss-up for me because I originally was thinking Keith Thurman, then my South Philadelphia roots kind of won't allow me to go against Danny Garcia, but so it's kind of like when I decided to become a police officer. My my uncles were like, "Hey man, you know you should be a lawyer trying to get us out of jail, not putting us in jail." So I kind of was conflicted. But I tell you, I think Garcia has a lot more opponents fought, a lot more top guys. But I think when we look at it as a whole between Keith and Garcia, I think we look at the Robert Guerrero fight because they both fought him, and Keith Thurman really just dominated Guerrero and knocking him down. And Garcia though hit him with a lot of good shots. It just didn't seem to affect Guerrero as it did with the punches from Thurman. So. Mm-hmm. And I think Thurman does a lot more body attack than Garcia, so I think that might play a factor. I really do. So,
all right. What do you think as far as that, John?
What do I think of it?
Yeah.
I really haven't either one on a whole lot, so I'm just going to watch and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Danny, he's a good guy. I knew his dad in the amateur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you my opinions. Since you didn't ask, I'm going to give you mine.
we were expecting that anyway.
You put me last in line. I don't want to be last anymore. I want to move up. I think Thurman is too hard of a body puncher. Garcia has that stand-up style. He doesn't crouch. His whole body's exposed most of the fight. I think he's going to get to him with body shots. Because he got a pretty good jaw. Garcia's got a good jaw on his stuff, but I don't think he has the firepower to go the full course of the fight and win it.
Sure.
Keith's going to wear him down. I pick Keith in the later rounds. Maybe a TKO about the 9th or 10th round. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. It's a real possibility. I think there was a couple times where when you look at both fights with Guerrero, that it seemed like Garcia and Guerrero connected both with hooks. And then, Keith Thurman did the same thing. I think if Garcia and Keith Thurman trade with a hook on opposite sides since they're both right-handed, I think Keith would win that exchange, and it'll be interesting to see if that shot really, if one of them gets knocked out by that. But I think you're right. I think Keith definitely has a bigger. I think he's the bigger of the two, as puncher wise.
Yeah.
What do you think, John? John Crane.
Well, I think a lot of good points were brought up, and one of the ones that is being brought up is needs to work opposite for Garcia, and that's the shots to the body. The one time that we've seen Thurman hurt was against Collazo when he took that body shot and it buckled him. So I think that if you're going to go on to beat Thurman, you got to work the body. And Dr. Christian said it, Garcia's not a body puncher. So his fight has to change more for this fight than Thurman's has to change for his fights. Because Thurman is a body shot puncher with tremendous power. And with Garcia's style, I think it is going to be open, and that's going to work to his advantage. And I also like the footwork in the ring prowess of Thurman a little better as well. With him being a bigger fighter, he's going to be able to impose that on Garcia. So my prediction is Thurman. I'm going to go with unanimous decision. I think Garcia is too good to be knocked out, but this is going to be a fight of the year candidate for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I did get a chance to, I get a chance a lot of times to just stop in and see the guys up there. And I watched Keith train for this fight, and I think it was this fight. He always trains very hard, but I don't think I've ever seen him train as hard as I have for this fight. I think he's ready for it. Yeah, he's a self-made individual. He dropped out of school in ninth grade, self-taught. He's very articulate. He's very smooth. And I think that his work ethics, of course, is superior. Even after he had his accident last year, he did all he could to get back into that ring as fast as he could. And I think
right.
he's going to put it to Garcia. Yeah.
Would just like to interject. A few weeks ago, for all our listeners that do not know or missed it, you know, go to the archives. A few weeks ago, we had Thurman on, and he gave a tremendous interview and opened up about the training for Garcia and what he does, and along with how he got his nickname in his past. So if any listeners out there didn't catch that interview, I strongly encourage you to listen to it. It was a tremendous interview by Thurman and a friend of the show.
Yeah, he is. Go ahead, Frank.
I'll tell you, what I'm most impressed with is, you know, it seemed like Thurman started out that journeyman route, but quickly changed everybody's mind and was a prospect slash contender, you know, after a couple of fights in. So, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, his tremendous heart and dedication to, you know, building something and focusing on, you know, bettering his life, his career, you can tell that, you know, it's just a tremendous testament and testimony to his hard work, because now he's in the game. And he's, you know, he's super fun to watch. Like I said, I think I have to agree. I think they both have superior foot speed and movement. But, yeah, you know, I do think Thurman has that edge as well. I'm like, at this point, I think my heart rate, if I had to look at my watch, is probably running about 120 beats per minute right now, because I'm still hyped. I was at the gym on the, you know, working out. And everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy, because I'm watching the highlights of both fighters. I'm in the game.
I'm going to give you another opinion, Frank. Garcia stands up. He's a stand-up fighter. Doesn't bend, doesn't crouch very much. He throws his left hook from a stand-up position. Very
right.
vulnerable to counter rights.
Yeah.
Keith has that punch.
Right.
That scares me when he starts that. You know, he can counter with that right hand. He could catch that hook to the body with his elbow and not come out of position and bounce a right hand right off of Garcia's chin. That may be the key punch of the fight right there. If Garcia goes for the body, I don't know. I was just trying to figure out both of them how they're going to fight each other, and there's no way that Keith can't solve Garcia's style, in my opinion. I've been wrong before, guys.
Yeah,
you may not believe it. You may not believe it, but I have been.
The point was brought up earlier about Garcia's adjustment to the fight, and though or both of the fighters. But I do believe that Thurman adapts to his fighter better than Garcia. So if a change has to be made mid-fight, advantage Thurman once again. So there's a lot of intangibles, but a lot of advantages to Thurman. Not saying Garcia can't pull off this win by any means, but it just seems that Danny Garcia is the right fighter for Thurman at this time of his career and to get him to that next step.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. And I think I'll tell you a little bit more, too, about Thurman. You know, there's a couple times where Garcia takes a photo after he throws these hard shots. I think he would have won the last couple of fights by knockout if he had thrown a little bit more, maybe one or two more punches, especially with the Guerrero fight. I mean, he hit him with a couple hard shots, and he just stopped, stayed there and paused and looked at him like, you know, hey, why is this guy still standing there? And I think that's why Keith was so dominant in his performance against Guerrero, because Keith just relentless pressure and Guerrero just had no opportunity. I mean, he knocked him down twice in that fight, and just some vicious body shots and then going right back upstairs. So, you know, I agree. I think fighting wise, I think it's going to be Thurman. I really do.
Okay.
But I'm hoping for the best. I mean, you know, because I'm from Philly, so I got to go with Garcia.
Well, you know, I talked to it's funny you said that, Frankie, because I talked to Bernard Fernandez, who for years has been the boxing expert for the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Daily News, and he wrote an op-ed piece this week saying almost exactly what you just said, and
right.
He said he has had nothing but complaints from his fellow writers and people that know him for going against the guy from Philly. But he said, you know, you got to be truthful. This is what I believe. And he said he really thinks that that's going to be the big thing, that Keith, being the smarter fighter, is going to be
right.
the victorious person.
Yeah. And like I said, I think Garcia has fought the better opposition. Some guys are a little bit past their prime probably, but you still can't discount those guys that he's faced a little bit. So I think in opposition, I think he's got a little bit more, or give a slight edge Garcia on the type of fights that he's had previous, but you know, nothing to take away from Thurman. He's just been mowing down everybody they put in front of him. So, like I said, it's going to be an amazing, amazing fight, and I'm ready. I mean, if you look at, I think Thurman having the less fights. I mean, his knockout percentage, is up in the high 70s, and then you got, Garcia, which is in the high 50s. So, I mean. Out of all those fights, even though Garcia has more fights, I think, which can sway those numbers slightly, I think Keith's been knocking out more guys in those fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80% to 58% was the last stat I've seen.
Yeah, right, yeah.
How about the undercard? You got Andreas Fanfar against Chad Dawson.
I think Fanfar is going to take it. I think Chad lost a little bit, but it's an interesting fight. I had an opportunity to fight Chad Dawson myself, but again, the money wasn't right. So, but I think Fanfar is still a little bit fresh for that fight. So, I mean, experience will maybe in Chad's favor, obviously, is knowing the game and being at this top level for a long time. I just think Fanfar is a little fresher, and I think he'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe, what's your thoughts on these?
Garcia fight?
What, the Garcia fight or the Fanfar fight against Dawson?
I really haven't seen a whole lot of either one of them. I really can't really say anything. Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been working. I haven't had a chance to watch any. But tonight I'm not going to miss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I don't think anybody. This is good. Go ahead.
We're finishing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat that they're bringing that type of a fight back to prime time. I think that will help build the sport again.
Yeah.
By the way, is the fight on Showtime or is it on 400? Who's covering the?
It's on
who's
CBS.
Covering the fight?
CBS at 9:00.
Yeah, CBS. Yeah.
CBS got it at 9, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad. At least everybody can see it then. That's great.
Right.
That damn pay-per-view, it gripes me to no end, you know?
Right.
It gripes me to no end.
And the funny part is that if there's any fight worthy to be on pay-per-view this year, this is it. Tremendous hats off to Al Haymon and all those that were able to go on and get this on national TV and hopefully bring some fans back into the sport. And if you have anybody that hasn't seen the sport of boxing and this is their first fight, they're going to be hooked for life.
Sure.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And, back to the Fanfar and Dawson fight, I think it will be interesting to see if Fanfar, this is his first fight back, right, since Joe Smith knocked
right.
him out.
Right.
Yep.
So it will be interesting to see. I would have liked to see Fanfar maybe take a tune-up fight. Just maybe get some of that rust off or at least clear those cobwebs after, you know, that knockout from Joe Smith. But I applaud his heart for going against a top guy or a once top guy like Chad Dawson. So it'll be interesting. And I met one of the, Frank, when we were down there at the gym. I saw that, is it Clarence Booth? He's on this card as well, done that card? Yeah. So that's happy for him as well. So it's a good.
I can tell you who's got the funniest corner. Garcia's father's a riot.
Oh, my God.
That guy's funny, man. One night I heard him say this. Now, quote me on this. Matisse is fighting Garcia, and he says, you know, them Argentinians, they've been around a while, he said. And they like to talk a lot about fighting, he said. He said, but when the welfare checks come out, they're Mexicans. Well, I don't. Jesus Christ. What a statement. I said, you're going to hear from that. But, you know, not a guy picked up on it. Nobody picked up on it. He said, yeah, they're around a lot. When a welfare checks them out, they turn into Mexicans. I thought I'd die that night. But he got away with it. Wasn't politically correct, but it was funny as hell.
I think half the people love to hear his dad talk, and then the other people are like, man, this guy is off the rock. They don't know what he's going to say. This is what captures the audience. Yeah. They just don't know what he's going to say.
He's funny. He looks like a Dan Labatard on that show, Stugatz, in the morning. That's a funny show. He should put him in the middle of those two guys with Stugatz in the middle. They're both funny.
I don't know who's more animated for the weigh-in, whether it was Garcia, Thurman, or Garcia's father, who was sitting there just like pulling the hook for the belt, pointing to the belt of Thurman's belt, and pulling the hook and saying, "Hey, that's coming over here next." So he was, you know, he's a very interesting character. He's very animated, and it's going to be good to see his corner work today.
Well, hey. They're going to need to be, they'll need to put their money where their mouth is because now they're ready to go. So Thurman's camp, I'm sure, you know, as Frank alluded to, it's ready. They're training hard. So, Garcia's dad is definitely a character. I like watching him in the press conferences, so he's a very interesting individual.
Yep.
Hey, Frank.
Yes, sir.
While you're there. I'm glad you didn't take that Dawson fight. He's got a bad style to fight again. He makes you look bad. He's like a spoiler. You know, you win, but you don't look good against him. Depends on how he wants to fight. I don't like that. If they asked me to fight, I said, hell with him. I don't want to be bothered with that guy. You know?
You
did a smart thing. You got to be the smartest Italian in Virginia Beach.
I appreciate that. I can tell you this. I'm part of this. I've never been in the prospect role of fighting. I've always been the journeyman, and that's always helped me out a lot. I wish I would have some good news in reference to the Jesse Hart fight. I haven't had any good luck with that. So, you know, I'm gonna move past it maybe, and we're looking at a good fight between me and Peter Manfredo, once I get all the contract stuff done and done with the IBF and the USBA. I think that's going to be a good fight here in Virginia Beach.
Manfredo from New England?
Yeah, yeah.
He's been around a while.
Been around a while.
You're going to knock him out, Frankie. You're knocking him out. Oh, yeah. Let it go a little while so I can see what you look like. I never saw you fight. At least let it go three rounds.
I'll make it. He's been very vocal about trying to fight me and coming here to my hometown, and then I would go up to Rhode Island. But I explained to him, be careful what you ask for. You know, when I'm done with him, he'll be teaching water aerobics at the YMCA in Rhode Island. So,
I'd like to see that fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. We're hoping like I said, March 18th ends the contractual obligation between Jesse Hart's camp and my camp to make a deal happen. I'm not too optimistic about that. So I'm thinking Jesse Hart will probably vacate. So if the USBA will accept Peter Manfredo as my next opponent, then we'll go there. If not, then we'll maybe look at the IBO. for one of their titles, and
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to, you know, so we're looking forward to really having something big back in Hampton Roads, you know, in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we want to see you on that TV screen one of these days, Frank.
That's right.
I know. I'm trying.
All right. Let us know when, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we thought we were going to be able to get Frankie up to Baltimore for a fight next month, but doesn't seem to be coming up to fruition. But I'm sure that everybody that sees him fight, Joe, you've seen him fight. You know what he's got.
I've seen most of them fight.
Yeah.
In fact, I was up in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My son for some sparring.
Great.
And, I see. Those are two tough guys, two good fighters. It's going to be a good, interesting fight.
Yeah.
Got to go with my cousin off.
Of course, of course. Hey, and Joe, congratulations on Joey's last win. So.
He looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. Yeah, I read all the reviews. So, good deal on that. So.
Hey. He was really up for it. I never really, really liked this. For his schedule, he works two jobs. And then I don't work time, but he was in the gym. He was at the pool. He did everything. And I was really, really proud of him.
Yeah, and all the while, he's got two babies, right? Yeah. Twins, is that what?
Joey has eight babies.
Oh, Joey has eight babies, but he has new babies, right?
No, he don't have any kids.
Okay.
I think you're talking about, Ray Robinson had the twins, Frank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I wish he'd hurry up, though.
Yeah.
I have one grandson's name. Rose, my daughter Rose, named him Rocco.
Oh,
You a grandfather yet, Joe?
No.
Yeah, Rosie has a baby named Rocco. She named him Rocco.
Oh, okay. I like that name.
Yeah,
I like that name.
Rocco Tiberio. Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to get my wife to let me name our son Bruno Salvatore Filippone, but I lost that battle.
I lost one. I was teasing my mother-in-law. She wanted me to name my last son, Lance. She wanted me to name him after Andrew Wyeth, the painter. What the hell? Jamie. I said, are you kidding me? I said, I'm going to name him Bruno. Well, she fainted. Always wanted a kid named Bruno. That was the end of that. I was just going to die on the spot. She never brought it up again about naming him Jamie.
Well, the family still calls him Bruno. So all our relatives still call him Bruno. So it worked out.
There you go.
Well, I went to school with a guy in kindergarten. We were good buddies. Bruno Bruni.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and the last name was Bruni. And he's a realtor in Upper Chichester.
Right.
Everybody makes one. Bruno Bruni. He goes, that's the real, the pronunciation is second hand. But we went to grammar kindergarten together. We've been friends, Christ, for 80 years now. Holy Christ. But I always said, I'm going to name a kid that. And you know, my other favorite one is Nunzio. I like Nunzio, too.
There you go.
Yeah, I like Nunzio. But, you know, it's going to have to be a grandchild of some type. Nunzio,
yep.
Nunzio Matera. You know him,
you
Frank,
go.
Nunzio?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you for Frank, other Frank, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, he's from, his father's from Sicily.
Right.
His father goes, he used to go back every single year for the summer and take one of the kids with him. And the wife, they lived up the street from my mother. She would come down and complain every day. Big Tony don't want to come home. He goes, Big Tony don't want to come home. He loved to go back to Italy every year. He lived in this country all his life. He was born here, but he had the worst broken English you ever want to hear. He was hysterical. Funny. Right. Jesus, God. I like funny people anyway, but he was funny. But
guys, we're up against our clock here, so
All right. Well, we're gonna see. Like I say, how many guys are taking Garcia? We're gonna put you on the spot. Frankie, you taking Garcia?
I'm gonna take Thurman, but I was trying to stay sincere to my roots with Philly, but I'll take Thurman.
Okay. All right. Well, and anybody picking Garcia?
I'm taking.
Looks like it. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll pick on you next week then.
All right. You know, next week, Chris, we're going to have Bernard's going to be on with us. In fact, he's going to be at the fight tonight and give us an update on everything. And he's going to file a report tomorrow by
who, Hopkins?
Bernard Fernandez.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but I wouldn't doubt that Hopkins will be there tonight if somebody pays
him. Oh, yeah. Well, he likes to get his face in the camera there. You know, even though he's not promoting it, he'll stick his face in there somehow. You know?
it's also going to be good to see Sugar Ray Leonard there, too, so doing
some
commentating.
Great.
So.
Well, we'll enjoy a good fight tonight. All right, guys, good talking to all of you.
Right.
See you next week.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye now.
Thanks a lot. Frankie, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah.
Joe,
thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're busy with everything, getting kids ready for fights, having your family and working and everything, and I appreciate that. We will I'll stay true to my word and do what I can to get you past that other thing here. So we'll see what we can do. I think this is your year.
All right.
John, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You know, I appreciate everything you've done for my family. And as a matter of fact, you are part of our extended family as usual. Frankie, you've become a very close friend and confidant. I appreciate that, too.
Thank you. Likewise, Frank.
These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, just let them know that you know they're there, a wink, a handshake, anything. Introduce your children to them. Remember, these are the guys that run in when everybody else is running out. Remember, and just remind them that they are human. Sometimes there are mistakes, but not all of us carry the big, heavy sticks that people think they do. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hender, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrol Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, Special Inspector FDLE, Vinny Galaccio. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Till that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the sun shine softly on your face and the rains fall softly on your fields. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night, God bless, and have a good week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezahir ma, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama.
Responded. His response to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.